Let's go to 1 Corinthians 12 for a change. I wonder how long this is going to take us. Did you go to the visitation last night, or did you just John did? I'd like to, but I had planned to, but I just don't. I don't think I could make it today. I'm not sure I can make it for the next half hour.
Did the girl call you from Newsday Institute?
Huh? About what?
The Door magazine, what it thinks about the fact that God is on everybody's lips everywhere in the world today.
So okay. I want to establish something here about, or maybe it's where it is cemented in, about in verse 3, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. It's a critical point in our understanding. Again, remember the technical, legal name for accursed, or the what that is anathema, but it means... it means to deny the foundation, and it means to say that something isn't suitable for temple service. In other words, if you remember, there's a whole range of things. But the same idea that the sacrifice, if it had a spot or a blemish, or if the red heifer had one discolored hair follicle, or any of those things that are according to the law. So it's not according to what you think. It's according to the law that you are saying that Jesus isn't suitable for temple service. There's something lacking. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 6. Take a left.
A first and last name similar?
The same word. Or same, it's the same base word, anathema, but it's anathematios or whatever.
Deny the foundation and
say that something isn't suitable. And it's in Hebrew, it's the word for the legal word in Hebrews. I mean, in the law is herem, H-E-R-E-M, which is the same word. And it's the same thing translated into Greek as anathema. And they would say that a lamb... once they cut it open and they found too much fat on the liver or something, then it was a herem. It was suitable only to be taken out. The remains of it were taken out, remember, on a cart, and they took it to the Dead Sea along with the live animals that had been scheduled for sacrifice that weren't suitable. And they would put millstones around them so that it would sink to the bottom of the sea. That's why when he said, if you offend one of these my little ones, it would be better that a millstone were hung around your neck and you were cast into the depths of the sea. That's a technical term for what they did with the things that were herem or anathema or accursed. Now, how does this temple stuff, because all of these were the temple services, and all of the words that we're going to study about the Holy Spirit, about diversities in ministry and service and manifestation, all of those have to spring from the Holy Spirit in order to not be accursed. So in 1 Corinthians 6, note in verse 15, know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ, or a of the members of the body that belongs to Christ. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What, know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify your God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, the only way you can glorify God, you can't glorify God by saying, Lord, we give you the glory. That's silly. I mean, anybody can see that. You glorify God by revealing that which is glorified. Remember, I've told you so often, the word glory has to do with the manifestation of his risen, of his resurrection. So we have been glorified because he is glorified. We have been sanctified because he is sanctified. We have been perfected because he is perfected. When we deny any of those things, then we are saying Jesus is a curse, because now you are the temple. Here it says the Holy Ghost. Now let's go 2 Corinthians 6. Verse 14, be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord or agreement hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that is believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as he hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord God. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So I want all of you to clearly understand that you are the temple of the living God. Now, in order for the temple to be, in order for the gifts or the spiritual things to be manifest in the temple, it must needs be emptied of that which is not spiritual. That's why abandonment, emptying, humility, all of these ideas about always and ever emptying yourself, always bringing every thought into the obedience of Christ, are so critical. Because you can't do that if you don't know he's not in you. You can't do that if you think there's something left to do. You can't do that if you're not forgiven, because everything will always refer to you. Now, we're calling Jesus accursed if, since you are the temple of the God, of the living God, therefore if some aspect of you as a vessel which has been purchased with a price, if you say something is wrong, you're saying Jesus is not, something is lacking with regard to his temple service. He is anathema, or he is cursed. I hope you hear this. Because everything we're going to start and study about the spiritual gifts is dependent on you knowing this. Otherwise, you will try to use the gifts as a instrument of your own self-realization.
can't keep from saying things are wrong, because in the world things just aren't in order from a man's point of view. So to be able to say that everything's in order, you can't be judging by your senses, because that's, look at you, it doesn't look right that you're sick, it doesn't look right that people are killing each other, it doesn't look right.
But that's the next point. Looking outward, no man can... Wait, go back to 1 Corinthians 12.
Go where?
1 Corinthians 12. We look inward and we see that nothing is accursed. We look outward and see that Jesus is Lord. We can't say that Jesus is Lord unless we... It doesn't just say Jesus is Lord. It says Jesus is the Lord. That means He has absolute control, absolute power. He is... Everything is in His exact order. So if you look outward and see something wrong, then you are not saying that Jesus is Lord. And as you said, no man can do that. Because no matter what you look at by your sensory perception, or see, or feel, or sense, or know by your senses, you will always say something is wrong. It's a given that man will always look and say something is wrong. Everybody got this now? You are the temple. So you cannot say about the brethren that something is wrong with them, because then you're saying Jesus is accursed. You cannot say something is wrong externally, because then you're not saying Jesus is Lord. So it's only by the Holy Spirit, by the understanding of the cross, that you can say everything about me and everything about you is exactly as it should be, and everything about the world is exactly as it should be. Otherwise, you're saying either Jesus is accursed or Jesus isn't Lord. Now, you're not saying it with your mouth, but you're saying it by your being. Now, if you understand this, then the fear of the Lord is automatic. This is why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's not, oh, I fear the Lord, so now I'm going to be smart. That's not wisdom. That's the wisdom of the world. It's meaningless. I pray you understand this.
Is there an order to this? It's like first you must see Him.
There's no order, because I saw... this is all I saw the first second that I was a believer. It will be revealed unto you as... He's not going to give you anything more than you can bear. But there's no order by our understanding of order. There's perfect order by His understanding.
See Him first before you can say things are okay out here. You can't look out here and say, maybe you can't.
No, you remember, He has put all things under His feet. In that He put all things under His feet, He left nothing that is not put under Him. But we do not yet see all things put under Him, but we see Jesus. That's the meaning of faith. Faith isn't a commodity for you to get stuff. That's just apostasy. If this is not the foundation of your being, then everything you do will be... you'll hear this stuff and then you'll walk out the door and then you'll forget it and you'll return to operating by your senses.
This reminds me of the passage where they said to Him, we've piped and you've not danced, we've mourned and you've not lamented. Everybody else, other than Jesus Christ, that's what they do.
And everybody else other than His disciples do too. It's you don't respond to what your life isn't based on someone's response to you or lack of response. My God, if my life was based on what people think of me,
Well, for one thing, you'd never be able to say the truth.
Well, I'd automatically adjust it.
Right.
I'd add water to the wine for the purposes of commerce so that I could be accepted. I want to be seen right in other men's eyes. That's why if you're a respecter of persons, which that makes you, then you are guilty of the whole law. In other words, if you're a respecter of persons, you have to follow every jot and tittle in the law of God. And none of this is anything any human being can do. This is why the abandonment of self, the giving no credence, owing your mind and your senses absolutely nothing, owing your emotions nothing. You're not a debtor to your emotions. You're not a debtor to your mind. You're not a debtor to the senses of any kind. You no longer feed on those things. It's literally the devil's table. Now you feed at the Lord's table, where only He provides your sustenance and satisfaction, and only He provides your work. If any man thirst, it's what you're thirsting for is worth. If any man thirst, let him come to the waters where you'll drink freely. If any man hunger, let him eat of my bread, which you will never hunger again. I can't imagine of a situation where I would need to feel sustenance and satisfaction from something out there. I certainly can't imagine a situation where I would need to feel worth by somebody's response to me. You know, that's why I've said for 30-some years that it doesn't matter to me whether you believe this or not, because my belief isn't dependent on your response. And I'm not just talking about me, that's everybody that's a believer. But the whole point of all this is before you can under... This is why, go back to 1 Corinthians 12. This is why this is like it is. He starts out, now concerning spiritual, pneumaticos, brethren, out of the same womb, I would not have you ignorant. Know you that you were Gentiles, ethnos, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. If you don't know that, then nothing I say to you is going to make any sense, because you will automatically filter it, or you will hear it and view it through a template that justifies your own idolatry. And you'll think, oh, those aren't idols, those are good things. Do you understand? No one in history has ever worshipped an idol. They always think the idol is from the supreme thing. You listen to Harry. It's just supposed to be that way, God damn it. No, it's not. He has no form nor comeliness. He has no beauty that when we see Him we should desire Him. There is nothing about Him that satisfies your idolatry. And the Holy Spirit's only job is to reveal Him and convict you of everything that isn't Him. Let's go to John something or the 14 or 16.
Big John.
Big John. Can you say that?
I say it all the time.
You?
I haven't been struck down yet.
It's coming. 14.
I can't remember whether it's John 14 or 16. I'll tell you in a second. Maybe both of them. It is both. But let's go to John 16 first. We'll read it out of order. I'm gonna take a detour. Go to John 15, verse 18. Shut up, Josanna. Just shut up.
This is confusing.
14.
If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world, the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Because in their wildest dreams, they didn't realize that self-realization was the essence of sin. How could that be? But now, since he has spoken unto them, they have no more cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works that none other men did, they had not had sin. But now they both have seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify only of me, is what it says in the Greek. You also shall bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. The reason they have now been with him from the beginning is because I'm not going to go through that. These things I have spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Now, service is latri, which means holy service. It means whosoever killing you thinks that they're doing the holy service in the temple. And these things, and that's why, this is why I never wanted this stuff. I didn't want this ever recorded. I certainly never wanted it going out over the internet. And that's why when I had the radio programs, I didn't really get into anything until just before I was fired, and I told everybody they were the Antichrist. They were going to fire me anyway, so I thought, what the hell?
Just another disgruntled employee?
Yeah. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me whither thou goest. Because I have said these things unto you, sorrow filleth your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. The Comforter is the Greek word paraclete. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because of what they do? No. Because no matter what they do, it's self-realization. Now, it's because of sin, because they believe or rely 100% not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. There's no other standard of righteousness. His righteousness is now fulfilled. Therefore, you can never be right. And of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. He's already judged and condemned. Therefore, what can you judge? These are the boundaries. Righteousness, because I've gone to the Father. Judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. Where do you stand? And you can stand, if you have any integrity, you can stand nowhere but in the abandonment of self.
Are. Yeah. So when you see that, then you kind of add some depth to, when it's revealed, there's nothing in you of value. So abandonment is your best option. Yeah.
Well, it's but once the Comforter came, and he came on Pentecost. There wasn't a second Pentecost. There wasn't a third. There isn't your Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was fulfilled, is what the scriptures clearly say in Acts 2. When the day of Pentecost was fulfilled, then it described the things that happened. And Peter said, when that day happened, and everybody thought that the disciples were crazy, he said, they're not crazy. This is what the prophet Joel spoke of, about the last day. Oh, no, the last days are coming. No, we're in the last day. My spirit shall be shed on all flesh.
Is that by the Holy Spirit? And that couldn't happen until Jesus.
No, he had to go through what he did before the spirit was available to the flesh. He had to become the new creation so you could become the new creation.
He had to die, though, before that could...
He had to die and rise. If he didn't hadn't risen, there would he would just be an ideal. Well, he's a good teacher. I love it when people say that to me. He's a great teacher. Yeah, well, no man cometh to me unless he hate his mother, his father, his wife, his children, his brothers and sisters, yea, and his own life also. Is that nice teaching?
A
jillion more. He's a terrible teacher from the human world, from the human being standpoint. The Sermon on the Mount wasn't some stuff you could do. The Sermon on the Mount was simply another thing to shut up your mouth. He alone, and his spirit alone, and his seed alone, his sperma alone, can accomplish the Sermon on the Mount. That's the visible evidence that his spirit is in the church. And his seed, and this church is made up of his seed. We didn't get very far today. According to my standards.
Jesus is Lord.
Anybody have any response? Anything clarified for you or clouded? Everybody understand perfectly? And your silence is a witness against you.
At some point, I want you to go back and explain that you were with me from the beginning.
That's a quote from what First John, where he says, "Go there real quick." 1 John 2. Well, I'll forget to do it if you don't do it now. First John 2, verse 12. This gives the stages of a believer's life. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his namesake. You remember that little children there is Technon, darling infant. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Actually, what it says is, it doesn't say, you've known, the word, look at that, is in italics. It says, you've known him from the beginning. Yeah, you've known him from the beginning. As I've said so often, you were there when Cain killed Abel, because you were the one that killed Abel. You were there when Nimrod hunted down everybody, because you were Nimrod. You were there. You were there when Herod declared, you were there when Pilate, you were there at every point because you were of your Father. You are of the beginning. Until you see that, you'll never know you're the chief of sinners. Everybody understand perfectly? Trick question. Amen?
So the song Sympathy for the Devil is about me.
I don't know what that song is.
You probably think it's about you.
So bad.
Take it, big guy.